So, hello, after all that. If you weren't here last week, you won't know that we started a new series of thoughts on a Sunday morning. And we are thinking in particular about the voice of God and how God speaks to us and the fact that he does speak to us. And the fact that God is a person, and like any person, we can relate to him personally. And it's possible for us, ordinary people, to hear the voice of God. It's not just for a special few, those that get paid to be Christians, or those who perhaps have been Christians a long time, but it's for anybody. And this morning we're gonna move on a little bit, because actually this is a really very, very important series, because my theory at least is, and you can believe this or disagree with it, or go on an Alpha course and ask Paul about it, but all of our lives are being shaped by voices. That the people we are, the things we do, the choices we make, the decisions we make, something is forming and shaping those decisions. We're making decisions all the time about who to be, how to be, where to live, what to do, where to work, how to treat people, and so on. And something is shaping those decisions. They're not just coming out of clear blue sky. Something or someone at some point has shaped the way that we think and move and have our being. And as a Christian, the offer is that there is a new voice that can speak and can shape our daily lives. It's a trustworthy voice. It's a voice of kindness and generosity and mercy. It's the voice of God. And I know that for me personally, there have been many voices that have shaped my life that have been unhelpful, things that have made me somebody who I actually don't like. And I want a voice that sets me free from those other voices. And the voice of God is the voice that actually offers that freedom, that liberty, a way of being a different person, a way of being free. And so hearing the voice of God is not a kind of an optional extra for really keen Christians. I'd sooner be the kind of Christian that doesn't hear the voice of God. Thank you very much. And of course, there is a risk in hearing the voice of God that he might say something that immediately we think, I'm not sure I like that. But actually, to be a Christian means to be in a living relationship with God. And any living relationship is about communication. As I said last week, if we're not communicating with those with whom we relate, there's something wrong with the relationship. If we stop talking or stop listening to the people that we're in relationship with, then there's something wrong with that relationship. And it's exactly the same with our relationship with God. If God is just a distant being who we believe in, but we're not in a relationship with him, then that's not what Jesus died to give us. Jesus died to give us the kind of relationship with God that he had with God, and it was a living, breathing, talking, listening relationship. Hearing the voice of God is a privilege, and it's a privilege for every person. Three of us believe that. The rest of us can think about it. So I want to just reflect on, move our thoughts forward a little bit, from where we were last time. And here's a Bible reading coming on the screen from the book of 2 Kings. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. And after conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. Now the man of God, that's Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God, and time and again Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Think of that one. Go, find out where he is, the king of Aram ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and they surrounded the city where Elisha was living. And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. That was his tone of voice. I have it on good authority. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, opened his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The servant could only see the physical stuff in front of him, the horses and chariots of the king of Syria, Aram. But Elijah could see something beyond the physical horses and chariots of the king of Aram. And there's something about hearing the voice of God which requires us to be alert to that which is beyond the stuff that we see in the world around us. There's something about the voice of God which is everywhere all the time. It's a bit like radio signals. This room is full, and I'm about to expose my ignorance of physics and electronics, but I'm imagining that this room is full of voices and music. But we're not listening to it because we're not tuning in to the radio waves, frequencies. It's all around us, but somehow or other we miss it because we've not got our aerial up and our transmitter receiver thing, radio bit stuff, on. I'm aware there's some physics teachers in the room, so I'm feeling very, very insecure. But you know the point I'm making, that actually you only pick up what's invisible if you tune into it. And there's something about hearing the voice of God, which is everywhere all the time speaking, which requires us to actually be tuning in to it. And to recognize that God doesn't speak in those spiritual moments that we like to carve out, those 10 minutes we have before we rush off to work, or the hour that we give on a Sunday. It's not just that God speaks into those moments when we choose that he should speak, although he does speak there, but actually God is speaking all the time. The potential to tune in to the voice of God is a 24/7 opportunity. But sometimes the window of between earth and heaven has got so much interesting stuff on it that we get captivated by what's on the window and we don't actually look through it to see actually there's some interesting stuff on the other side too. Do you see what the illustration is trying to point to? The servant of Elisha could see what was on the window, the stuff in front of him. But he didn't see that actually he was looking at a window. That there is something beyond what we call the real world, which is equally real, the world of spirit, but which is invisible unless we tune into it and pay attention to it. Years ago, in our culture in the West, it was decided by a bunch of philosophers and others that actually we need not pay attention to what's through the window because everything that's interesting is really on the window, and in fact there is nothing beyond the window anymore. That actually all that exists is all that we can see, and all that we can see is all that exists. Bizarrely, this stage in human development was called the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment succeeded in making us blind to half of reality, such that we now only see what is, and we're content to believe that what we can see is all there is. But the biblical worldview, and in fact the worldview that the majority of human beings on the planet today inhabit, is a worldview that believes that beyond the window there is another world that's worth paying attention to. And particularly there is, from a Christian perspective, a world where God is and where God speaks from into this world. The Bible, of course, is full of allusions to this other world. Typically, it's called heaven or the heavens. The realm in which God exists is not a distant thing, geographically or time-wise. It's not out there, but it's everywhere. And even as I do that, I'm touching heaven, because heaven is all around us. God is all around us. God speaks all the time, everywhere. Don't get captivated by what's on the window. You'll never hear the voice of God unless you understand as Elisha understood that you can look through the window and see something beyond it. Elisha prayed for his servant, "Lord, open his eyes so that he can see." The servant must have wondered what was going on, because he could see. He'd just seen a whopping great army of Syrians. He had no doubt he could see. But Elisha understood that he was only seeing half of reality. Wouldn't it be great if this year we lived lives that saw more than half of reality, but saw all of reality, and understood that in the other half of reality, there's a God who's wanting to speak in the office, in the school, in the coffee shop, all the time. Wherever the window is, there's always something the other side of it. So it happens anywhere. There are a few places in particular where the Bible seems to suggest we can pay particular attention to what's through the window. The Bible offers us the window of creation as a particularly rich window through which we can look to see God. Psalm 19 puts it most clearly. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. There's something about what God has made that speaks of the Creator. That's always the case, isn't it? Any of you that make things, what you make says something about who you are. In one sense, your voice is carried by your creativity. Does that make sense? Yes? Yeah. Just remember the rules. Smile, nod, grunt every so often. Okay. There's something about creation that carries the voice of its creator. And I would say, if you want to hear the voice of God, I would say one very simple thing you can do is get out in amongst the things he's made. This year, one of your New Year's resolutions, I don't know what number you're up to, 136, whatever it is. I will spend a little bit more time moving them out amongst the things God has made. The window seems to be particularly clear at that point. Paul says in Romans, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly understood from what has been made." There's something about the Creator that's particularly visible in his creation. Jesus said, if you want to know something about what God wants to say to you, then well, consider the lilies of the field. Have a look at some flowers and just spend a bit of time looking through the window. What do they tell you? Consider the birds of the air. Look through that window. What do they tell you? Just spend a bit of time reflecting and thinking. The Victorian poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning, I put this in for the English teachers here. Scientists, you won't be interested in this bit. Forget that last bit. She said this, I'm sure you've heard this before, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pick blackberries." I love that opening phrase, "Earth's crammed with heaven." There's something about the world which speaks into our lives of a God who is there right next to us all the time speaking. I'm sure if we had time to share stories, some of you could testify there were times in your life when God spoke through something he'd made that you witnessed. A rainbow, a storm, lightning, a calm sea. I'm sure. Some of my favorite places, some of the ancient Celtic Christians used to talk about thin places. You may have heard that phrase. Thin places, the places where you feel God is especially present and easily discerned. And most of those thin places for me would be places in nature, a beach, a hilltop with a view, because there's a thin place. There's a place where the window is seen through. But a second place where we can discern God, I would suggest, is through the window of culture. The world around us. The Message version of Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens says this: God doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote, he's near. We live and move in him. Can't get away from him. Whether I'm watching a film, whether I'm listening to music, whether I'm reading literature, whatever I'm doing, again, it's not that God speaks through what I choose to define as religious stuff or spiritual stuff. God will speak through whatever gets my attention. I would argue, and you know, we could disagree at this point, disagree at any point, of course. I'm not for. But human beings were put on the earth to be people who formed culture. We were supposed to create music, write poetry, build bridges. We were supposed to create culture. And in our creativity, that culture that we created was supposed to bring glory to God. It was supposed to reflect him. We were supposed to build great buildings that reflected something of the glory of God. We were supposed to make great music that reflected the glory of God. We were supposed to paint great paintings that reflected the glory of God. All creativity is there to reflect the ultimate creator who gave the gift which caused the thing to be made. And even when people without faith express creativity, somehow, I think without them knowing it, they're struggling to express something which they dimly are aware of but can't quite articulate. So in great works of beauty, great pieces of music, great pieces of architecture, whatever, those great creative moments that humankind have had, it's possible that God's voice is heard, even if dimly, through those things. How many of us have heard a piece of music that's moved us, that's connected with us? They've seen a painting through which we feel something has been said. And you might think, well, I'm not sure how that happens. It happens because every act of human creativity is in some way derived from the ultimate creator who brought it into being. And there is an echo. Sometimes it's a very strong echo. Sometimes a composer, for example, intended to write music which brought glory to God. Sometimes they didn't. But music only exists because God determined that it should. And so there's a potential. I'm not sure about Wham. But there's Rian and I have this discussion. But there's the potential. That in our culture, so in other words, what I'm trying to say is, we can be alert when I'm watching a film. Might God speak? Yes, he might. When I'm tuning out to music, might God speak? Yes, he might. When I'm reading a piece of literature, might God speak? Yes, he might. Because God wants to speak so much that he'll speak through anything. He'll even speak through a donkey, according to the Bible. God wants to speak. He wants us to hear. He's not a kind of a cruel God who's hiding. He doesn't play hide and seek. He wants to speak. He wants us to hear. He wants his voice to shape our lives. And so he will use anything. The question is, are we alert? Or are we just looking at the window? Or are we looking at this window and saying, actually, it is a window. It's not a book. It's not a piece of music. There's something beyond it. And is that something, the voice of God, that wants to speak to me at the moment? Can we be alert to that? And the third thought around this idea that God speaks anywhere and anytime is the anywhere of our circumstances. God speaks just through what happens in everyday life. I chose this picture because I'm sure some of you will know Val Gill. Val Gill was the lady who established the 125 project down in Bristol. I once spoke to Val about how that first started. It actually started as something called the Candle Project. The Candle Project was a project at the Salvation Army in St. Paul's, which was set up to help homeless people. And 125 kind of evolved after that. The first thing that Val set up, and Val was an administrator in the Bristol Health, one of the hospitals in Bristol, I think. And she attended the Salvation Army Corps on Sunday evenings at St. Paul's. And when she went into the Salvation Army meeting, she had to step across homeless people who were sitting on the step of the church. And she did that a couple of weeks. And then the third week, she felt, as she looked at this homeless person that she was about to step across to go into church, she felt God speak to her and say, don't step across this person again to go to church until you've done something for them. Now, Val was a very ordinary person. She would say that herself. She was an administrator at a local hospital. She wasn't a philanthropist or a minister or a missionary or anything like that. She's just an ordinary person. But she felt God speak through just that circumstance of stepping across someone to go into church. And so she started up a drop-in. She started up a soup kitchen. She started. They had showers. They had feeding program. You know, it just mushrooms. And eventually she moved on from that, and then she set up 125 as a kind of a second move. But that's basically the way that Val described it to me. And it all started by God speaking to her. It wasn't her thinking, I ought to be doing some good and kind of generating something. But God spoke to her through just a circumstance in her daily life when she encountered something on the doorstep of a church. And God spoke through that. It was a window through which she perceived the will of God. And we find it all over the Bible, all over the ministry of Jesus, time and again, just things that and people that Jesus came across in everyday life, they became a window through which he seemed to hear the voice of his Father. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus up a tree, not just a man up a tree, but a human being who needed salvation and who is worth spending time with. Why pick that person? I'm sure because when Jesus looked at him, he saw through a window to his Father, and his Father was saying, spend some time with that one. Just the normal circumstances of everyday life become the opportunities for God to speak if we're paying attention and looking through the window. So what's the way, just let me finish with this thought. How can we learn to tune in? Because I'm sure if your life is anything like most people's lives, you think, you're too busy to turn the radio on. This life comes and goes, you're on and pressing on, and just sort of tuning in. How do you do that? How do you not just experience life as a series of people and situations and circumstances and then go to bed and start all over again the next morning? How do you do it? I want to suggest there's one little thing that we can learn to do. This is number 135 on the New Year's resolutions list. And it's to do with this business of giving thanks. The Bible says that we should give thanks in everything. In the Jewish tradition and in strict Judaism, there are 100 prayers of thanks that are prescribed for giving every day. In other words, you give thanks for just about everything. You give thanks that you've woken up and you're still alive. You give thanks to the God who made the bread that you're about to eat for breakfast. You give thanks for the relief of going to the loo. You give thanks for just about everything. You've got to give thanks 100 times a day. That embraces just about everything you do, doesn't it? You kind of give thanks for everything. Now, I'm not suggesting that we start getting legalistic about this and saying, I need to give thanks 100 times a day and then it'll be fine. Not at all. But what I am saying is the habit of giving thanks immediately positions you in somebody else's world. You're grateful to someone for something. And I know it's gone out of favor quite a bit, the business of saying grace before meals and all got very formulaic and legalistic and all of that stuff. But at least if you say grace before a meal, it reminds you that this was provided by someone. There is someone else involved in this. If you say thanks when you go into a building, there's something else, someone else involved in this. When you say thanks for the person that I'm married to, thanks for my children, giving thanks, being grateful, is a way of reminding yourself there is someone behind the window. I'm not just grateful that I've got a wonderful wife. I'm grateful that that wife is a gift from God. And it reminds me, therefore, that recontextualizes everything I think about my wife when I receive her as a gift, or my kids, or my job, or my car, or whatever it is. To be grateful is a way of reminding ourselves that there is someone beyond the window. There is somebody else out there. And by doing that, we're likely to alert ourselves more and more often to the fact that that person beyond the window may want to speak, may want to say something. How about trying that? Just trying to be thankful. Not 100 times a day, not making it legalistic, not writing it down. Well, unless you want to do that, that's fine. You know, do what you want to do. We are living in a liberal Western democracy after all. So feel free to interpret this how you will, but how about trying to be grateful for things? Trying to pause to say, thank you to the God who provided this. Thank you to the God who gave me that. Thank you, Lord, that you're in this place. Thank you for the opportunity to go to work today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because every thank you, if it's genuinely said from the heart, reminds you that there is someone beyond the window, and that someone may well want to speak into this situation now, here, right now. So it's a simple thing, but I think it's a very profound thing, and possibly why the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not just because it's polite, but because it's health-giving and life-giving and reorientating. So, the voice of God. Wouldn't it be great? What I'm hoping is, as we go through this series, that we might even get some feedback from people who begin to look through the window and believe that it's possible that God might speak to them. And maybe we get some feedback on what God might have said. Let me pray. Some of you don't look very impressed by that last idea. So let me pray. Father, we do live our lives in a physical world, and we confess to you that we kind of get captivated by the stuff that we see, the very real stuff that is in front of us, the people, the situations, the circumstances. But Lord, I pray that you would remind us of all that there is beyond the window of the physical world. And particularly, Lord, through this season, I pray that we might learn again to pay attention to the speaking God who loves us and whose voice we need to hear if we're going to be free and whole human beings. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into our lives this week through creation, through the circumstances of our daily lives, through the culture that we live in and engage with. I pray, Father, that you would draw near to us and that you would help us to draw near to you and to understand, to tune in to the speaking voice of the loving God. So Lord, we pray that you'd be in everything this week, in our waking, in our sleeping, in our comings and goings, in our working. Be our everything, Lord. Be in everything. And make us aware of your presence there, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.